Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. I'm really excited about today's program. I've got brand new songs. Misha Hoyt, or Misha Getz as you might know her, recorded a brand new song with Joshua Aaron, and then I've got a couple of new songs from Paul Wilbur as well, and you're going to love my interview with Liz Stout, so stay with me and I will be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And now what you've all been waiting for. You want to know when the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop will be open. It will be open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4 and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the office at 585-288-0670. So please visit the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. All kinds of books, cards, jewelry, t-shirts, really cool stuff. All right, as promised, here's the new song from Misha Hoyt and Joshua Aaron.
and say, our God is worthy to be praised. Forever we will shout your name, God Almighty.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I am recording this show, putting it all together at my home today on Sunday, February 14th. So by the time you hear it, it will no longer be Valentine's Day. So let me just say, I hope that you had a nice Valentine's Day. I hope that you realize how much the Lord loves you and how important you are to me. I love all y'all. All right. How about another new song now? This one is from Paul Wilbur.
From the struggle there will come triumph. You are strong in my weakness. Out of pain I see rejoicing, for you rise out of brokenness. For you rise out of brokenness, I will dance in the midst of the fire. I will sing in the eye of a storm. I will shout, you are faithful forever. The victory's mine, 'cause the battle is yours.
The battle is yours. Amen. Amen. Please remember that always. You know, God is with you. He will fight for you. Hallelujah. All righty. Let's hear all about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com. As you will hear, Liz and her husband Simon work for a wonderful organization called Jews for Jesus. There was a mobile evangelical singing group years ago called Liberated Wailing Wall. They traveled all over the world singing lots of songs, and I think it's important that I play some of those songs today since I'm interviewing Liz today. So enjoy this wonderful song from Liberated Wailing Wall, called For Such a Time as This. And how appropriate, since Purim is coming very soon.
Because he was the favorite of their father, his brothers wanted Joseph in the grave. They devised a plan, and a passing caravan took Joseph down to Egypt as a slave. But the God of Abram was with Joseph. From prison he was lifted high above. When the famine came, his brothers learned his name, and Joseph spoke to them with words of love.
For such a time as this, I lived through suffering. For such a time as this,
competing for the throne. Her beauty and her grace gained her the favored place, and Ahasuerus loved her as his own.
Yet there was a foe within the palace. His plot to kill the Jews was undeterred. But Mordechai had learned that Haman's anger burned, and sent a note to Esther with these words.
God required. Pain and sorrow almost overwhelmed him as the time drew near for him to die. Beneath the olive trees, with mournful cries and pleas, not my will but yours, they heard him cry. For such a time as this, I'll face the suffering. For such a time as this, choose to die, then God will raise me up and seat me at his right hand. For it's clear that God has brought me here for such
Again, that was Liberated Wailing Wall, For Such a Time as This. And you heard me mention the holiday of Purim, which is plural for pur, which means lot. Purim means lots. And what is this all about? Well, if you read the book of Esther, you'll see that Hadassah, or Esther, was a young Jewish girl who was chosen to parade before the king when he decided he was looking for a new wife. And she was selected, and she kept her Jewish identity quiet. But there was a bad man named Haman, and that's what everybody's supposed to yell, boo! And he devised a plot to kill all the Jews. And Esther eventually revealed this plot to the king, and she basically saved her people's lives. And so For Such a Time as This comes from a very famous quote from Esther 4:14. Her cousin Mordecai said to her, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." So, my friends, what is God calling you to do today? Perhaps you have been called for such a time as this also. Anyway, the Fast of Esther begins on Thursday night, February the 25th night, and we are celebrating with costumes and candy and special three-pointed cookies called Hamantaschen, and they are supposed to look like the hat that Haman wore. And it's a very joyous time, and whereas a lot of people out in the world dress up and wear costumes at Halloween, we dress up and do our candy and festive things for the holiday of Purim. And you might be thinking, what's the significance of the lot or the lots? Well, Haman threw dice or lots to determine what day the Jews would be hung, and it settled on the 14th day of the month of Adar. And so that is why we call the holiday Purim, because we remember the lots. And the end of the story, as you read the book of Esther, is that Haman and his family ended up being hung from the gallows instead of the Jews. All right, let's hear about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. By the way, you can sum up every Jewish holiday in three short sentences. They attacked us, we won, let's eat. And while I'm on the subject of Purim, here's a beautiful song from Michelle Gold. It's called Esther's Prayer. And please keep Michelle in your thoughts and prayers as she recently lost her mother to COVID. Thank you.
All of my life, I've been good. I dance the dance, pray the prayers that I should, till bright as the sun, your love shined on me, opened the gates of destiny. Now no more. or to speak quietly, or not speak at all. You such a time as this, I cannot resist. When I have been chosen with fearless devotion, the reason I exist. For such a time as this, I don't want to miss this chance. I've been blessed with, my spirit is tested. Even if I die, for such a time as this, there is a time for everything, for birth and a time to die, for peace and time to fight. But if I am hindered or scared, who knows that my life might not be spared? Fear, don't you try to stop me now. Don't hold me still. Risking it all, I hear love's call. My life is fulfilled for such a time as this. I cannot resist when I have been chosen with fearless devotion, the reason I exist. For such a time as this, I don't want to miss this chance. I've been blessed with, my spirit is tested. Even if I die, I live for such a time as this.
Again, that was Michelle Gold, Esther's Prayer, or For Such a Time as This. What a beautiful voice. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And stay tuned, because soon you'll hear my interview with Liz Stout. Her and her husband Simon work with Jews for Jesus. And I think we will play another Liberated Wailing Wall song in their honor. This next song is called Yeshua the Lamb. And that's what it's all about, my friends. It's all about Yeshua.
Before creation, before the world began, from earth's foundation, Yeshua the Lamb, all were transgressors. Among the children of man, one intercessor, Yeshua the Lamb.
Oh, Yeshua, I love you.
As promised, here's another new song from Paul Wilbur, Jehovah is Here.
Though the earth will shake and oceans roar, though the nations rage and kingdoms war, just like thunder when you speak, your love is the river that's drawing me. Oh, for God is my refuge, forever my strength. The mountains may crumble,
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday morning mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
And now, here's my interview with Liz Stout. Enjoy.
Liz Stout, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I've had the privilege of watching you grow up years ago, and so it's really exciting to talk to you as an adult who's had an interesting life. But let's go back to the beginning. Tell me a little bit, well, for the listeners, because I already know. Tell the listeners if you were raised in a typical Jewish home.
Sure. So I grew up in a Messianic home. My dad grew up Jewish. My mom grew up Catholic. So they came to believe in Yeshua when I was 5 years old. And so we started attending a Messianic congregation in Rochester, Shema Yisrael, and I grew up there.
All right. Well, you know, this brings an interesting question to mind. I often ask this question when I find somebody that grew up in a believing home, because, you know, there's a wonderful expression I heard once. I think it was from Jews for Jesus, and it said something like, being a bagel in a bake shop. No, I'm saying it wrong. But anyway, something about being in a bake shop doesn't make you a bagel any more than being in a believing home makes you a believer. So I guess the real question is, when did you decide for yourself, not just because your parents raised you that way, when did you decide for yourself that you were a follower of Yeshua?
Yeah, so I always knew as a kid that God was real. I just knew it in my heart, and I just, you know, could sense God's presence in our congregation. But I really didn't commit my life to the Lord until my 18th birthday. So I went on a camping trip with my friends in the Adirondacks, and while I was there, it was my birthday, and their cabin was surrounded by blackberry bushes, and it was just so fun. I would go out, you know, all day, and I would pick all these blackberries, and I would bring them into my friends, and they would just eat them all up. And you know, I just kept asking them, oh, don't you guys want to come out and pick the berries? It's fun, you know, we could hang out together. And no one wanted to spend time with me. And I just remember getting really angry throughout the day. I thought, you know, it's my birthday. No one even wants to spend any time with me. No one made me a card. I was just really getting upset. So we were all sitting around the campfire at the end of the night. And I stood up to tell all of my friends really how much I hated them and how they were terrible friends. And when I stood up, just the presence of God came on me and changed my heart. My heart was full of anger, and so I knew that it wasn't me, and it was just changed to love, and I just could see all of my friends in a different light, and I just knew that it was God, and that he came to change our hearts from, you know, being full of anger to being full of love. And so I just told all my friends right then really how much I loved them instead of how much I hated them, and I also told them how much God loved them, and they were kind of freaked out about it and looked at me like I was crazy. But my one friend, she stayed, and we ended up talking, you know, through the night, looking at the stars and talking about life. And yeah, I still pray for those friends. So since then, on my 18th birthday, I started following after Yeshua, and I haven't looked back.
Praise the Lord. And I suppose now you like blueberries more than ever, too.
Yeah, blackberries.
Oh, yes. Blackberries.
Blackberries actually grow very well in Israel. So,
wonderful.
Yes, there are lots of blackberries.
Well, so how did your life begin to change after that, Liz?
Well, I started to read the Bible, and I started to pray, and I also started leading a youth group. And it was really amazing. God really changed my life and worked through many things in my heart. And I was able to attend a Bible study, which was really influential in my life, and really be able to study the Word. And I also then went on to study the Bible and philosophy in college. And eventually I moved to Israel, where I got my master's degree in teaching English. And that's also where I met my husband. And so we've lived here in Israel since 2005.
Well, wow. Wait a minute. That's a really big deal. You're raised in Rochester, New York, and you just decide to go to Israel. I mean, how did that happen?
Yeah, well, we always talked about it in our family. And then in 2004, I came on a 10-day tour with my family, and I just really loved it here, and I thought, wow, it would be great to stay here or come back and, you know, live here for a time. And so I found this opportunity to get a master's degree, so I went to Tel Aviv University, and the rest is history. We ended up staying here after we got our degrees, and we were working as teachers, and then we had our children here, and my parents and my brother also moved here. So we just have one sister still in Rochester.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, hopefully. We're praying.
Well, what is it like living in Israel, and how long did it take you to master the language? And oh my gosh, I have more questions, but you can answer that part first.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different living in the Middle East compared to the U.S. Definitely the culture was a shock a little bit when we came. People are kind of like more close talkers and kind of very intense. Many times you might come into, you know, someone's house or go into a store and people are like talking very loudly and it sounds kind of like they're angry or they're in like this heated discussion, but that's just how Israelis talk. So it's fine. Like, they're not really angry. It's just the way that people are. So that was kind of difficult to get used to. And even now when you want to get something, you know, across, you kind of have to be a little bit tough, a little bit, you know, have a little bit of chutzpah in you so that you can kind of, you know, get your point across. So that was kind of hard when we first moved here. But I love the food in Israel. It's like a vegetarian's dream. I think they call Tel Aviv now the vegan capital of the world. So you can find really vegetarian food wherever you go. My husband is vegetarian, so we eat a lot of vegetarian food. One of my favorite things that I had never had before I moved to Israel is sabich, and it's an Iraqi like street food that was brought here by the Jewish people when they immigrated, and it's like this, it's in a pita, and it has fried eggplant, a hard-boiled egg, salad. Sometimes they put French fries, or they'll put like boiled potatoes, and then like hummus and tahini and all that yummy stuff. Amba, which is like a pickled mango sauce. It's really yummy. So oh. It's like one of my favorite things. Yeah.
Send me a plate over, please. Please. Wow. So you met your husband there. How did you know he was the one?
Well, I didn't at first. I thought that he was really good looking, but then I wasn't really sure about him. And he actually wasn't a believer. And he was searching for God. That was really the reason why he came to Israel, is he was looking to be closer to God. And so he was saying the Shema and the Via Hafta every night before he went to bed. And so, you know, I just started talking to him about God. And I was asking him about the Messiah. And I said, you know, what do you think? Who is the Messiah? And he said he wasn't sure. So I just said, you know, ask God, reveal to you, you know, when you see the Shema and the Via Hafta, you know, ask him, show me who the Messiah is. You know, show me the truth about who the Messiah is. And so he was praying this every night. And he ended up coming to know the Lord at a conference that we went to. It was a dreams and prophecy conference. And we signed up to go. And a few nights before this conference, he actually had these dreams that were almost like a movie. And he wrote them all down. Now, he didn't know that the couple that was running the conference was going to ask him or ask all of us if we had any dreams. And he just so happened to have had these dreams. And so he submitted them. And then the last night of the conference, they really talked about these dreams and said how they were from God and really kind of explained some things about them. And he kept having this feeling that the lady, you know, there was a couple. So he thought that the wife was going to come and say something to him. And it was really the end of the conference and they were running out. They had to catch a flight right after the conference. And so they were going to go get their suitcases. And she came into the middle of the aisle where we were sitting. And we were sitting right in the middle of this large room. And she put her arm on my husband and said, God hears your prayers. He has good plans for you. Don't worry. And then she left and he just started crying. So he came to know the Lord then. He knew that God was speaking to him and that God was revealing himself. And he came to believe that Yeshua was the Messiah then, that night. Yep. And then we ended up getting married the following year, a year later.
Oh, my goodness.
Sukkot. Yeah.
Where did you get? Oh, you got married here. That's right. In Rochester.
We got married in Rochester. Yep. It was in October and it was sunny and warm. I think it was 70 degrees.
I remember. There was a tent.
Amazing. Yeah. In the tent. Yep.
Wow. Wow. All right. So what is it like in Israel in terms of sharing Messiah? Are they mostly secular there? Are they hungry? Are they really wanting to know the Lord? What have you found?
I mean, it's a huge mix. You know, Israel really is like a melting pot of all different levels of people, different cultures, backgrounds. There are secular people. There are very, very religious people, ultra-Orthodox. Everyone is here together. But really, we've seen a lot of openness amongst secular people and also amongst Russian speakers. So we do have, different teams that are reaching out. One of the things, really, the thing I think that's changed the most about Jews for Jesus is that we are now kind of reaching out to the community, trying to bless the community and, love our neighbor. So we have different ministries here. We have a soup kitchen. We also just recently bought a food truck because of Corona, and we've been going out in the streets and giving out food from our food truck. And we're also really involved in the community where we're trying to create spaces where people can get together, where they can come and ask questions, where, they can come and study the Bible. We, since Corona started, we've had online Bible studies where people can join in, which has also made it nice that people don't have to show up. You know, maybe they're afraid of meeting with someone from Jews for Jesus, so they can come to these Zoom meetings, and it's not as scary for them. So that has been something that's been really great during this time.
So you and Simon both work for Jews for Jesus?
We do, yep. And we've just recently moved to Jerusalem, where we're working on hopefully setting up a community center here as well. We have one in Tel Aviv, which we were working with for the past year. And now we are setting up a team here in Jerusalem.
Was it hard for you to leave Tel Aviv?
It was, because Tel Aviv has like this special, I don't know, thing about it where it just seems very relaxed. It's a very relaxed atmosphere by the beach, and, there's lots of good food, and you can just walk around everywhere. And it's like that in Jerusalem, too, but there is something special about Tel Aviv. Yeah, it was hard, but I know that when God calls you to go to a place, go somewhere, that he gives you the grace for it. So we really have felt that. We felt really the presence of God with us, and we really have felt that, his grace is with us. And he called us here, so he's going to provide for us.
Amen. Now, I ask this question to almost everyone that lives in Israel, but I'm always encouraged by the response I get. But I have to ask you, too, do you feel safe?
Yeah, actually, I feel safer in Israel than I did even in a lot of places in the U.S. The weird thing about Israel is that if something happens to you, like say you're on the street or something and you were to like fall down, people will come to your rescue. Our friend actually had a heart attack on the side of the street, and within seconds there was a doctor that was riding her bicycle by, and she was doing CPR. There was a man that stopped right away, called an ambulance for us. We were in shock that this was happening, and so we couldn't even really think to what to do, and people stopped and helped us. That, I don't know. I mean, I would hope that that would happen in lots of other places, but that happens here in Israel right away. People go into like emergency mode and they will help you.
So, that's good to know. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have some interesting stories about sharing the Lord? I'm sure you've met so many people, young and old. You must have a story. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. So we, as at our center in Tel Aviv, we would have language exchange nights, and I led it together with another Israeli guy on our team. And so he would do like the Hebrew language side, and I did the English language side. And so people could come, and they could either help, someone to learn Hebrew, or they could learn some English. And so we had kind of different language speakers, were English and Hebrew. And there was a lady who came, and she just was so open. And she told me how, as a child, she would watch the Superbook programs in English, and they were broadcast from Lebanon. And her older sister, who maybe like 5 or 6 years older, would translate from English into Hebrew for her. And she just said, you know, I just really love Jesus. She said, I loved watching these cartoons as a kid, and I just loved who he was. And she was just so open. I was able to share with her the gospel, and she started coming to the local congregation that we have in Tel Aviv. And she came to know the Lord. So it's really amazing that we were able to, you know, host these events. And people, you know, something from when they were a kid, they saw, and it caused them to love who Yeshua was. And they were really searching. And so even just providing a place for people to be able to come and ask questions allows people to come to know the Lord. So, yeah, be encouraged. There are people that are coming to believe in Yeshua.
That is so wonderful. And I know the answer to this question too, but I think it needs to be stated that Jews for Jesus is not out to convert anyone to Christianity. Could you just explain that a little bit to people? Because people have such a misconception.
Right. So many people, you know, even right now, there are many Orthodox Jews and Haredi Jews who believe maybe that the Messiah has come and they're waiting for him to come again. And we, as Messianic Jews, believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And so you don't have to convert at all to Christianity, but you just believe that Yeshua is our Messiah. He came, he died for us, he rose again, and we can follow after him as Jews. We are still Jews, and we are Jews and Gentiles together, so people that are not Jewish can also then believe, you know, in Jesus, and we can work together. It is a misconception, though, that happens a lot of times. People think that you have to become a Christian, or they ask us, aren't you a Christian? So we do believe the same things as Christians, but we aren't Christian. We are still Jewish.
Amen. Unless, of course, you're just using the word Christian to mean follower of Messiah. But unfortunately, our Jewish people still think the word Christian means non-Jew as the word Gentile. It gets really confusing. So,
Exactly.
Now, tell me about raising children. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart. And have you seen faith arise in your children?
Yes, actually, my son, who's 8, he has now been praying every night that God would reveal to him himself to him in a personal way. And we read the Bible together, and we have devotional time where we talk about the Bible. And they ask really amazing questions. My daughter asked the other day, you know, if Adam and Eve, you know, sinned, they ate from the tree. She said, we didn't eat from the tree. Why are we punished for that? So we were able to talk about that, how sin came into the world, and you know, how Yeshua was able to conquer sin. And it was just really, yeah, it's amazing that if you talk to your kids about things, that they will begin to ask questions and begin to pray on their own. And it really is amazing to see.
Aw, I'm really proud of you. I'm just proud of what God has done in your life, Liz, and very happy that you met Simon and that you have such a wonderful family and that you are doing God's work in Israel. And I'm wondering, how can we be praying for you guys?
Yeah, so you could definitely be praying for all of our teams here in Israel. I know that it's difficult all over the world to do ministry in COVID times, but that God would give us creativity and just new ways to reach out, and really boldness, that we would be able to speak to people and really speak to their hearts, and that they would see the truth. They would come to know their Messiah, come to know Jesus. But yeah, you can be praying for all of our different teams here. In Israel.
Yes, may the Lord keep you safe and provide for all your needs. Now, if somebody wants to support you guys, what's the best way to do that?
So you can go to our website. We have a Jews for Jesus website, and you can look up if you would like to specifically donate to Israel. There are different teams, or if you want to specifically donate to individuals, you can look up their names on the Jews for Jesus page and donate to them. Yep.
And so they would look for Liz or Simon Stout, S-T-O-U-T.
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, this has been fantastic. And if there's one last question I have for you, it's, do you think people should visit Israel now or wait?
I know, now they can't because of COVID, but if it wasn't, yes, I would say definitely come. Even for us, it's difficult to travel. The hotels aren't open. Many restaurants aren't open. We can only go, you know, and do takeout. So once things open up again and everything calms down after this pandemic, definitely come to Israel. It's such a beautiful place. It just has so much to offer, and it really is amazing to see the Bible come alive, you know, even as you're just walking around in your, you know, and going on a tour. It really is, it's so special, really, as you're reading the Bible in the actual place where these stories happened. It really is something that is such a blessing to be able to do. So yes, I definitely recommend coming to Israel.
Wow, you know, I just had a really cool memory. I've only been to Israel once, and it was in 2008, and I remember visiting you, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Yep. In Jaffa. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Liz. I hope that you give a big hug to your hubby, and I don't think I've met your children, but you can give them a hug from Auntie Ethel, and may the Lord bless all that you do and watch over you and keep you safe and provide all that you need in Yeshua's name.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was really amazing. And I just, maybe can I just say a little prayer for everyone that's listening?
Sure.
So, Father God, I just thank you for each one who was listening in today, and just ask that you would bless them and be with them, that you would just really pour out your spirit in their life, and that they would know how much you love and care for them. And if they don't know you, Lord, I just ask that they would begin to ask, and that they would be able to pray and call out to you, Lord, and that you would answer them. And I just thank you for who you are and all that you do for us. In Yeshua's name.
Amen. Thank you. And be sure to give my love to your wonderful family. You know, I miss all of you very much, and your parents are very special, so give them a hug from me as well.
I will, definitely.
All right, well, and lehitraot, you know, until we meet again. Thank you so much, Liz.
Yes. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Shalom, shalom.
That was my interview with Liz Stout, and next up here is Elena Watson with Awake, O Israel. Yivarechecha Adonai
Vayismarecha. Yair Adonai panavalecha vikunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.